Hey, it's Dennis Dykin from the Smithereens here, and you're listening to Iron City Rocks.
Welcome to episode 555 of the Iron City Rocks podcast. I'm your host, John, coming to you from the Iron City of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, bringing the best rock, hard rock, heavy metal, and blues talk on the net. Episode 555, we are joined by one of the pioneers of the mid-70s and into the 80s, the post-punk movement of British music. We're talking to founder of the band Joy Division, Mr. Peter Hook, who went on to form New Order after the passing of Joy Division's original vocalist Ian Curtis passed away in 1980. The remaining members kind of regrouped in New Order and really set off on an incredible journey just as New Order. It's amazing to think that two bands both knocking on the door of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame both really came from the same core group of people. So an amazing musical legacy. Peter will be coming into town to do a show in Pittsburgh at the Roxian Theater in McKees Rocks on the 30th of May, which is very soon, regardless of when you're listening to this. Peter Hook and the Light. And if you followed them, what they've been doing through many tours is redoing entire albums of either Joy Division or New Order in their entirety. This show on the 30th will be the Get Ready album, which was a reunion of sorts for New Order. They had not done an album since 1993 with the Republic album. And as Peter talks about, he and Bernie kind of went their separate ways. I don't want to say amicably, but you can get the picture, and I'm sure there's plenty out there to read on what all went on there. But they did come back together in 2000, 2001 to make the Get Ready album. So this show will feature that album in its entirety. And then if you've never seen Peter, there will obviously be many, many Joy Division hits and many, many New Order hits. There's no shortage of those. So we're going to get into that interview with Peter. We're going to play you just a little bit of a classic Joy Division song here, and we'll get into the interview with Peter Hook.
When reaching parts apart and ambitions are low and resentment rides high, but emotions won't grow, and we're changing our ways, taking different roads, then love will tear us apart again. Love will tear us apart again. Why is the bedroom so cold? Turned away on your side. Is my timing not for? I respect one so dry, yet there's still this appeal that we've kept through our lives. But love will tear us apart again. Love will tear us apart again. Love will tear us apart. Love will tear us apart again. Mm-hmm. my failings exposed. There's a taste in my mouth as desperation takes hold. Is it something so good just can't function no more? Love, love will tear us apart.
Joy Division, New Order, and obviously solo, Mr. Peter Hook on the line. How are you doing today, Peter?
I'm okay, thank you. Yes, it's nice and cold here in Columbus, Ohio, which I wasn't expecting, I must admit.
Yeah, we were discussing this earlier today. A friend of mine, it's the last week of May in the northeast of the United States. It should be 70s, 80s, and we've basically given you like Sheffield's weather.
Yes,
to come to
you have, and it's, but I tell you what though, it's been quite strange because we did a tour of Spain and France in March, and we were all, you know, with our shorts on,
yeah,
and our sun hankies, and we got there and it was bitter.
I imagine once you
first
you...
time, yeah, first time I've ever been to Barcelona and been cold.
Yeah,
so I don't know what we've done to the weather, mate, but even I don't even think Mr. Trump can fix that.
That's a whole different story. So you're starting this show. You have a show tonight in Columbus. You're in Pittsburgh here on Friday night, and you're going to be performing the Get Ready album, as well as a mixture of Joy Division and New Order. Can you talk a little bit about your memories of the Get Ready album? I mean, it's hard to believe. I think of that as kind of like your new work, and that was...
So do
25 years ago at this point. Do you have a lot of memories of that particular album?
Yeah, I mean, it was our, it was mine and Barney's second honeymoon. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I remember it well. A lot of sunsets and daiquiris.
Yeah.
Yes, I never thought we'd get back together again. After he'd done electronic and I'd gone revenging, I literally did not think we'd get back. And it was quite simple, actually. Rob Gretton was sick of getting offers for us to play.
Yeah.
And he simply got us all together and said, can you please tell me what's going on? Because these offers are driving me crazy. And during that getting back together again, I suppose you could say we buried the hatchets and decided to try a few gigs and then do a new record if the gigs went well, which they did. We came back together. For some reason, never quite got to the bottom of, Steve and Gillian were very busy elsewhere. So they weren't with us a lot. So the record was very much just Bernard and I. And I think because of that, when Gillian and Steve came back, it always felt a little odd.
Yeah.
So, but no, Barney and I had a great time doing it. It was like, God, it was like being bloody 11 again the first time I met him. And it only started to crumble, funnily enough. The record went very smoothly. We were getting on great right through it, through the release as well. And then when it came to doing gigs again, that was when it all went wrong.
Which is interesting because you think, I mean, I was actually going to ask you, you know, when you get together to write an album, I mean, there's a lot of his ideas, your ideas, our ideas, you know, I could see that being more tumultuous than trying to just play a show. But was it just the rigors of touring or
you know? I think it was the attitude of touring. It went back to being how it was before. I mean, you know, we didn't have a lot of money, which some people find hard to believe.
Yeah.
It was true. So we didn't have a lot of money at this point. And whilst we were given a quite healthy recording budget, we managed to spend that on recording. Barney was very, he'd say perfectionist, where I'd say fucking time wasting. So I think you can see the divide there, can't you? So the thing is that to meet in the middle, but he always thought that compromise meant that you gave in, not you both gave in. So it was interesting. It's amazing how people have different languages. So the thing was is that when we started gigging again, all the old beefs came back, all the old angst. He was calling the shots basically. And because we didn't have much money, it was very frustrating, turning down offer after offer. And basically, we were the same as we were when we gigged after Republic. He was very reluctant to do it. When he got there, he was utterly miserable. It made the whole thing feel unworthwhile. And it was heartbreaking because, in my opinion, he was taking it out on the audience.
Yeah, and that's hard when you're not all kind of pulling in
Oh,
the
it's
same
impossible,
direction.
mate. And you know what I used to say to him? I used to say, Barney, if you don't want to play, let's just not play. Don't play. Let's not play. I'm upset about it, but I can live with it. Because I'd rather not play than you get there and ruin it for everyone.
Yeah, and if
Which
you
is what
could,
happened. And lo and behold, it just fucking happened again.
yeah, I mean, if you could get along well enough to make records and continue to make records, I think, there's many artists
Yeah, but
who don't.
they're at, obviously the records is where he comes into his element. Now, I mean, if you compare Get Ready, which took 2 years, and you compare it to Unknown Pleasures, which took 6 days, Closer was 10 days, 15 days, 3 weeks, 5 days a week. And then you compare it to Get Ready at 2 years. There was a certain amount of, shall I say, indulgence. And when Peter Gabriel, God bless him, is charging you, something like £15,000-£20,000 a week to be indulged, yeah, it was a very, very expensive pastime.
You're exactly right. I mean, that's hard when you kind of have to keep one eye on the gas gauge to see how much you're spending.
Well, I mean, let's face it, there was only me looking at that, so don't worry about it. I mean, the weird thing is that playing Get Ready, I did approach it with a certain amount of trepidation. And the arguments in New Order for me have coloured everything. They're all black. Or every time I get to an LP and when I listen to Get Ready, it was funny. I thought, when we book the gigs, because my ambition is to play every song we've written and recorded, I think with New Order that's going to be impossible because there's so many. But to play the LPs will do me. So the thing is that I thought I better listen to the record because I hadn't listened to it for years. So anyway, I listened. I went on the internet, to get YouTube up. And the first thing that came up on the internet was a stinking review by Rolling Stone of Get Ready. And I was reading it and I thought, oh my God, this is a stinker. And then I listened to Get Ready and I thought, what the fuck? It's not that bad. I said, no, what are they talking about? And lo and behold, when we've come to transcribe it, I think, in my opinion, it sounds fantastic. It really does. And it's so much better. And the songs I thought I'd hate, which were Rock the Shack and Close Range, because I hate them on the record, have actually come to life. And oh my God, it's like we've finished it off. Because Barney and I recorded it, Steve and Gillian had very little to do with it. We never actually got to the point of all of us finishing it off. If we'd have played a lot of the songs live, we would have finished them off, but we didn't. And I think that out of all our LPs, Get Ready had the least songs played live.
Yeah, and
So we're playing five or six of them for the first time.
is it your intent to record one of these shows?
Yeah, we've recorded the London show that we did
Okay.
a few weeks ago, which will be coming out on, I think the record label's called Be Here Now. It's Abbey Road's mobile recording.
Yeah, I
Oh,
think that's
it's actually been done. It sounds really good, actually, if I say so myself.
yeah,
So
it's
I'm
I think
looking
it's
forward to that. Yeah. Well, it means when I get to practice, it means I can practice to me playing my version, as opposed to have to practice the Tin New Odor's version, which is very taxing to say the least.
Yeah,
So
I mean
yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
it's always fun to listen to you kind of breathe even though you were part of the originals of all of these, kind of a slightly different perspective into the work, I think makes it very interesting for fans, longtime fans of yours,
Yeah, I mean,
to
I think
kind
my.
of to see what you come up with. Even, it's almost similar to what U2 did with their, I don't even know what they called that latest thing, but where they kind of redid, their greatest hits. It's interesting to hear different perspectives on the same work.
Yeah, I mean, I want it to sound like New Order because, unfortunately, I think that New Order don't sound anything like New Order. So. Yeah, I mean, in fact, when I listen to them, I'm absolutely amazed. I think they've slaughtered it. I really do. But and playing the bass down is obviously another insult, really, because they've taken away, in my opinion, part of the importance of the sound that made sound that the fans loved, and they've taken it away. You know, in a fit of pique or whatever. And yet the thing is that when I do it, when we do it as the Light, we go out of our way to make it sound just like the record, which is important, I think, for the fans.
Yeah, I think you
That's
take the
why they're
bass.
fans.
Yeah, you take the
Yeah, you
bass
know.
out of any of your work, and it doesn't make sense.
Well, yeah, but I suppose in a way, you have to bear in mind that it leaves it. It gives me somewhere to go because if they sounded exactly the same as New Order, I'd have nowhere to go, would I?
That's a good way to look at
Yeah.
it. I have to ask, your bass sound, all the way back to the original Joy Division records, just very groundbreaking and very influential. I listened to you, and I can't help think that that bled into Simon Gallup of the Cure and many many bass players to come after that. Was there somebody that sparked you as a bass player that helped
Yeah.
develop your style?
Yeah, there was actually there was two. I love Jean-Jacques Burnel from the Stranglers for his tone and the way he played, because at that point in early Stranglers, the bass was very, very lead instrument. And I love that. I actually went to see them in Stafford in Cheshire in England, and I stayed until the end of the show. And went down to the front of the stage and actually wrote down all the equipment that John had and bought the same equipment. And
That's an
luckily
influence.
for me, I got the same sound but used it in a different way. The other one, who was a great influence on me, was Paul Simonon. I went to see The Clash play in Manchester, and I love the way the guy moved and the way that he looked. He was like perfect gunslinger, like, and I just thought, man, I'm doing that. Now, as my wife will probably tell you, when I decide to do something, I go to the nth degree. When I started to wear it low, I was literally tying two straps together to get the length. I'm still absolutely, thank God, the fact that I can still play it low now. Yeah, I managed to with a combination of yoga, Pilates, and
Yeah, I just say
intense exercise. I can still, you know, do it so that I'm happy with it. But
a little
yeah,
harder
so
on the
with
back
Paul,
now.
yeah, with the look of Paul Simonon and the sound of Jean-Jacques, that was how Joy Division came to be.
I love that you describe that as one is the, the tone, somewhat of the musicianship, and one is just the look and the attitude, which,
Oh, God.
let's be honest, somebody influenced everybody with a look. You could have, you look cool enough, you could play cowboy chords or quarter notes and still influence, so many people. So that's a
I mean,
fantastic.
it was just, punk was a complete revelation for me. Watching the Sex Pistols was the revelation, where I walked out of that gig at the Lesser Free Trade Hall in Manchester and thought, shit, that's what I want to do. Never played an instrument in my life. I don't count the recorder that we played at school. And to be able to do it, and not only for me to pull it off, but the two of us to decide to do it together and then manage to do it in two fantastic bands from a whim, just a whim. Seeing that attitude of the Sex Pistols, because musically I didn't recognize anything, but I recognized the attitude. And at 20, I thought, that's exactly the attitude that I want. Don't know why, but
Yeah,
I
I
want it.
mean, that's, I think, maybe if it had been, if you could have put your finger on it, might have been too contrived, and I think that certainly
I think
says
at
something.
20, though, you didn't get that. I mean, when I walked into the Lesser Free Trade Hall in Manchester and I gave Malcolm McLaren my 50 pence, my 50p, he was on the door taking the money. And it was the best 50p I've ever spent, mate. I'm telling you.
Absolutely, for all of us. Well, I want to thank you so much for your time, Peter. I know you're a busy man. You've got a show tonight. We look forward very, very much to seeing you here in Pittsburgh on Friday night. And certainly look forward to the recording of the show you mentioned in London.
Thank you.
And whatever you cook up next. And it's just been an
Well,
absolute pleasure,
it's
man.
waiting for the siren's call next. And I've got to get a move on, because I still want to be able to wear my strap low, mate. So I've got to get a
Absolutely.
move on.
All right, again, Peter Hook and the Light will be doing the Get Ready album plus the greatest hits of New Order and Joy Division at the 30th at the Roxy and Theater in McKees Rocks. Tickets still available. I would not sleep on this. And if you visit Peter's website, you can get dates throughout the country if you're interested in the show. You can visit us at ironcityrocks.com. You go to episode 555, we'll have links to tickets, the rest of the tour dates, if you're in another city, information on where you can get more information on Peter and his music, and as he mentioned in the interview, the recently recorded forthcoming live album of Get Ready. So if you can't come to the show and it's like, hey, I really love that music, I wish I could be there, but I've got a kid's graduation, which may be the case for some of you. You can get out and get a copy of that when they put it out on vinyl or digital or whatever and catch them the next time. So visit us at ironcityrocks.com. We are on all social medias as Iron City Rocks, and you can drop us an email, ironcityrocks@gmail.com. Let us know, do you like the new wave stuff, the post-punk electronic music? Do you like metal? Do you like rock? Do you love it all? Love to hear from you. Let us know what you think. And until next time, we want to thank you so much for taking the time to listen.